Restrictions apply.
Inside Your Business on Kaya Biz is powered by Capitec Business Banking. Banking. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
Kaya Biz.
Inside Your Business.
Yes, it's 5 minutes to 7 o'clock and we are getting inside your business. Feel free to interact and share your thoughts on this one because truth be told, for as long as you're employed and regardless of the kind of employment contract you have, this conversation will likely impact you. But are you one of those employees that as soon as you leave the office, you're unreachable, not connected, and of course make sure that you then focus primarily on other responsibilities and not necessarily availing yourself for work discussions? Well, that's called disconnecting, and in most spaces it has been accepted, but in some working cultures and environments is commonly frowned upon because we've gotten so used to making sure that feedback is something we can easily access on work WhatsApp groups, work calls, maybe even meetings and conversations that take place outside of working hours. But what's happening globally and how does this also reflect within the South African context of the working environment? The right to disconnect. We join now by Senior Associate at CDH, Leila Musa, to help us unpack this intriguing conversation. Leila, such a pleasure to have you with us and thank you so much for making time.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'm excited to speak to you because this particular theme and conversation is one that has far-reaching implications. And I think for many of us who are professionals, we find ourselves struggling to disconnect. So maybe let's just start off in understanding the concept of the right to disconnect, where it stems from, and the influence it's having on a global working scale.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think firstly, from a South African perspective, I think we need to start off to note that we don't have a right or a law that specifically regulates this right to disconnect. But essentially, from a global perspective, and what we're seeing that's emerging in a number of countries globally, most recently Australia, it speaks to the right for you to disconnect from your work or your work-related communication outside of particular working hours. And this would essentially provide employees with a basis to say, look, I'm not going to perform any work outside of these normal working hours. And I think importantly, together with that, it prohibits employers from then penalizing those employees who do choose to exercise this right and who do refuse to attend to work or to work-related communication outside of those hours.
Leila, I can hear a lot of team leaders and managers and operational structures are literally frowning at this conversation and saying, no ways. But maybe let's understand what's happening internationally and more so what the law is beginning to say around availing yourself for work projects and the context that also might shift regarding the contractual conversations and maybe project-orientated work environments where contact is needed.
Absolutely. So I think you've identified really the crux of the issue, right? It's what is the nature of the business that we're dealing with? And how does the nature of the business align with our ability to say that we can disconnect after a particular time? So if you take the South African context where you've got, you know, a large portion of our workforce working within the industrial space, perhaps in, you know, factory context, mining context, etc. Mm-hmm. There are fixed shifts that we're dealing with. So at that point, people can kind of say, well, my shift is done. That's the end of it. But then you've got other kinds of operations, perhaps more office-based or what we would typically refer to as white-collar work, where, you know, people are on screen, they are taking calls, they have, you know, their emails on their phones, etc. And there's this almost need for you to be available more sort of around the clock. And I think what's important to remember there is that with those persons, you know, there is some level of flexibility that they may have, the ability to have the email and the phone and perhaps do something else that they may need to attend to within their daily life, mm-hmm. that someone who operates a machine, for example, within a factory does not have. So I think it's important for us to balance those two competing needs and look at the overall operational need of the business. And where we're seeing this right come into fore in the international landscape is probably in the latter, where people are, they have a level of flexibility, but also together with that, there's this need to constantly be in touch and for, you know, check your WhatsApp, check your email, be always on. And I think it's there that because of the impact that we're seeing from a mental health perspective, and perhaps people saying, I don't have time for my family. I don't even have time to, you know, wash my dishes or see to my kids, etc. And the impact that that's having on attrition within workplaces is really where we're seeing these policy decisions being made.
I find this so intriguing because you're right, context does matter, including perhaps the grade of work, scope of work, contractual environment, operational structures, and even earning scale. But as you say, you know, there's some countries internationally like France, Italy and Brazil, and recently Australia, who have legislated the right to disconnect. Within the South African environment, where we already have the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, how would these two, I guess, balance each other out? How would they be interpreted practically within the workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with our more industrial spaces where persons are working fixed shifts, there we do have, you know, limitations on maximum working hours per week, and as well as maximum amounts of overtime. So there you limited to, you know, 40 to 45 hours per week of ordinary hours of work, and then, you know, up to 10 hours of overtime typically. But that is limited to persons who earn below our earnings threshold, right? Which is currently at about 260,000 Rand per annum. So the question is, what happens to those people who earn above that, whose hours aren't capped? And there's a general sort of consideration or policy consideration, and in fact statutory legislated requirement, that working hours for all employees, irrespective of how much they earn, is regulated in a manner that considers two things. The first is their family responsibility, and the second is their health and safety. But there are no specific parameters on what that means. So it applies to everyone, but we don't have a specific parameter of what that means. And I think it has to be balanced with what operational requirements are, seniority of the job, and of course, how much are people getting compensated? What's the risk with their role? What did they sign up for ultimately? And to what degree can we flexibly work that together with saying, I'm switching off my phone now. That's enough for the night.
It's so important that you highlight this, Leila, because, you know, whether you were a security guard or the CEO of a JSE-listed company, the both of you could work 12-hour shifts just within different controls, parameters and agreements in your payment structure, the responsibilities and the active duty that you're taking. I'm already quite keen because it does mean that for human resources functions within organizations or people management, this will raise a lot of questions and require further distillation of the requirements of one's employment contract and outcomes of their working outcomes. So I guess a twofold question. What is it that human resource professionals need to be mindful of within the organizations that they lead? And then what do we need to be mindful of as employees within the different spaces that we operate in?
Yeah. So I think practically that's a really good way to look at it is, you know, looking at your space, looking at your employees and the nature of your work, do an audit of what is actually required in terms of your operations and what those operations are required to do at different levels of your business. And consider how that necessity is balancing how much time people are actually having to spend outside of working hours realistically in order to fulfill their job. And then whether or not that is made clear to employees and whether or not they know where that boundary can be drawn. So I think that's the important thing. It's not as simple as saying we're going to cut it off at, you know, 8 hours, because we know that's not how all jobs work, because that's not what is sufficient for the operational requirements of the business. And of course, if we're not meeting those operational requirements of the business, those businesses may or may not be able to meet their revenue targets and in fact continue employing people. So those are very important considerations for employees, right? We've got to keep the cogs going. But with that, HR professionals, team leaders, managers need to make sure that those expectations are clearly understood by their employees, that they know what they're meant to be doing and why. and that where they need perhaps some flexibility or where they need to reach out and say, look, I cannot manage this, I feel completely overwhelmed, that those conversations are happening and that either there's an explanation for why and how it can be adjusted, or an alternative avenue is taken. So I think practically that's where we are now, particularly for employers that are looking to be employers of choice, who perhaps want to operate on an international scale, which we know is increasing now with our globalized market.
Leila, I'm aware that you focus on law, but I can imagine you work with a lot of industrial psychologists as well as other key players within the realm of human psychology and human behavior within the workplace, given your focus on labor law. And we can't ignore the fact that there are different generational shifts and cultural dynamics in various organizations, including, the hybrid working platform and opportunities that have been presented. Do these elements also, I guess, further murky the waters when it comes to right to disconnect and how South African businesses need to interpret how that is implemented within their workspaces?
Certainly. So I think you've mentioned a couple of key points. The one is the generational differences in ways of work are becoming increasingly clear within the workplace. And I say that because what we have now is we probably have one of the most multi-generational work forces, in the sense of their exposure, not in age, because I mean that's always been the case, but in the sense that we've got certain people who are now sort of outgoing and closer to retirement, who operated in a completely different work environment to those persons who are coming into the workforce now, who may have operated in a studying environment which was completely digital, what the expectations of those generations who are working together are of how they work and the way they work is a really tricky and very interesting, in fact, space to be in. Because what you have to consider is that while one person who's perhaps now your team leader or your manager or, your top executives, they may want to operate on a, we come in at 7 and we leave at 7 and we do everything in the office in person. Mm-hmm. And we know that a lot of that was probably, changed forcefully so perhaps by COVID-19 and the need to work from home. But we are seeing an increase in return to work. So that might be what they consider to be productive and what is ideal. Then you've got the much younger, and I'm going to go to the extreme, the newer generation that we're seeing coming into our workforce, right? Who completely, everything was done on technology. What they see as an effective way, and this is what it is, it comes down to what do you think is effective. An effective way of work to them may really includes the ability to be flexible. So they do not want to be seen, that what we're seeing increasingly is, this misalignment with why do I need to be physically in an office when I can actually access my work from anywhere, I can do it from anywhere, and I can do it flexibly. So what that means, and flexibility is key, is the fact that, to them, it doesn't mean cut off at 7 all the time. Perhaps it doesn't, and maybe that's a different conversation. But what it may mean is they're happy to work sort of right into the late hours of the evening, which was unheard of perhaps for earlier generations, but they want to have a level of flexibility in that. So it's understanding that within your workforce and saying, well, is there a way for us to meet these demands and also achieve what we need operationally and the goals and needs of the business?
My goodness, Leila, I could speak to you all day on this topic and so much more, and appreciate the refreshing perspective you've brought to what promises to be a very dynamic conversation within the South African working environment. I guess as things stand now, we've mentioned that internationally a few countries, have legislated this. In South Africa, are there still deliberations taking place? And if so, are they available to the public or various stakeholder groups to actually share their feedback, comments and suggestions?
Yeah, so in the South African, in our South African legislative framework, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything from a policy perspective. But certainly the discussions from an international landscape are coming to the fore, particularly within our businesses. And we may see a drive for these kind of policy discussions coming perhaps from our business workforce and perhaps the more sort of corporate sides of that, because typically I think those are the sectors of our economy that this is going to impact more so than those working within the industrial space.
100%. I can imagine your phone will be buzzing with lots of phone calls from corporate clients saying, help us out here. What do we do? But we'll give you the right to disconnect this evening, Leila. Appreciate you educating us on this key theme and for adding so much color, context and detail to what it is we should be mindful of. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. That's Leila Musa, Senior Associate at CDH, employment lawyer, giving us some feedback and perspective on the concept of right to disconnect. Huh? Who would have known in the world that we live in, post the pandemic, hybrid working conditions, multi-generational aspects of experience and working dynamics, the right to disconnect simply means that, you know, when you walk out of the office or when you say, you know what, I'm taking time off not to respond to my work emails, work WhatsApps, anything work related, that you're allowed to do so. But as Leila's mentioned, context matters. That's easy to do when you're working on a factory floor and have completed your 8 or 12 hour shift. If you're working in strategy, stakeholder engagement, even in the world of media where we are on air till 8 o'clock and prepare for the show every morning, bright and early, from as early as 7 o'clock in the morning, how then do you differentiate those factors? So it's going to be so intriguing. Share your thoughts with us, though. I'm always quite keen to hear your views and perspectives on this one. Right to disconnect, is it something that you would like to have implemented within your work environment? And is it practical? Beyond it being implemented, is it practical? Do you want to disconnect and say, as soon as I'm out of the office at 5 o'clock, I'm done for the day? Or are you one of those who likes responding to emails early in the morning or very late at night? Share your thoughts. 063-688-0959. Stay with us. You know, when we like something, we do it twice. And today we revisit a conversation with one of my favorite mining analysts who's made time for us tonight, Peter Major. He'll be joining us to take a look at one of the biggest mergers that we've heard of earlier this week. Just yesterday, Anglo American and Teck, a mining company, Teck Resources, based in Canada, officially announced their merger. We'll deep dive into what this means, key partnerships and outcomes that will be attained, and maybe a quick reflection as well on a few company results we saw today with the likes of Pan African Resources, almost close to doubling their earnings. 12 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz.
That's the sound of your business growing. Whether you're starting out or scaling up, turn your passion into profit with Capitec Business Banking. Save up to 50% on fees. Get fast credit approvals, personalized support, and Forex for your business. Open your business banking account on our app. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone. Capitec is an authorized FSP, 46669, T's and C's apply.